Thank you for choosing Your Extra Tech Podcast. Be sure to check out the links and sponsors in the description. Hello and welcome to the YXT Podcast. My name is Jason and I will be your X-ray tech for today. Angela C. DMS. Be sure to follow her. She's on Instagram. She's on TikTok. She's got a lot of great information she's going to share with us and a lot of great things coming up on her website and her platforms. So excited to have you on here. Angela, welcome.
Hi, yes. Thank you so much for having me. I'm definitely super excited to share anything sonography. So yeah, thank you so much.
Let's start with a little introduction. How did you get started in the field? How's your journey been so far?
I just graduated in May, actually, so still considered a new grad. I did 2 years in the program out in Galveston College. Shout out to Galveston. And yeah, so far I've been working in a hospital setting and now newly in a clinical setting, just like straight up clinic, totally different world. So I kind of have, you know, a little bit of experience now in both things.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. And why sonography? Like what led you to down this path?
Yeah, so I think like a lot of people, I definitely feel like I knew I wanted to be in something in healthcare, right? But I didn't know exactly what. I knew I didn't want to do nursing. Shout out to nurses because they are amazing. But after doing some clinicals in high school, I was like, no, that's not really what I want to do. I got to shadow actually some x-ray techs. And my first clinical site was actually in high-risk OB. So I got to follow the doctors there, the nurses there, and also the sonographer. And I just remember being with her and her knowing her patients and just everything. And I thought she was so cool. So that always kind of stayed in the back of my mind. I thought I was going to go into radiation therapy at one point. But just the way that my path led me, I remember vividly, like it was so vividly. I was walking from class and I was just walking across the little skywalk and it hit me. I'm like, hello, ultrasound, sonography, I can do that. And from then on, it stuck with me. I just got so much more excited about it. I was always researching things about it. And from there, I just, you know, started finding programs around my area and kind of just trying to figure out which one would be the best for me.
Wow, that's amazing. So you did your research, right? You did mm-hmm. a little bit before jumping in. So what are some things that you maybe found out during your research that maybe solidified your journey or maybe was like an eye opener and said like, wow, I didn't know that or I didn't expect that part?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest things too was the whole radiation factor. I didn't have to deal with that. And I thought that was really cool because I'm like, okay, well, while I'm in school, I should be able to practice on, you know, my classmates or other people. So that was definitely one of the things I thought was super cool. And also how, I guess, not flexible, what's the word I'm looking for? Diverse, there we go. How diverse the field is in the modality of ultrasound. Like you can go into vascular, you can do OB, you can do just regular general, you can do MSK, you can do PD. There are so many options that you can do. And I like that. I'm like, well, I can try all these things and learn so much and figure out which one would be the best for me. So that was definitely, I think, one of the major factors too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't think like people realize that until they do the research or until they're in the program where it's like kind of like the eye opener. And I think ultrasound is going to be used even more like as we go along and figure out, you know, because there's a lot of advantages to not using radiation, right? Like it's basically sound waves and the equipment's getting better. So, you know, looking forward to the future of sonography. So thank you again for joining us and sharing us your experience and who knows where it will be in 5 years, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So anything that, you know, let's say somebody's interested in joining the program, you know, what is something that they should know before going into a program like that?
I would say that it is going to be a lot of hard work. And it is. Don't think that you can walk in there and you're going to be like, oh, I already know what I'm doing. No, get that out of your head. I don't care how smart you are. If you had all A's, I was the same way. I'm like, oh, I had all A's. I didn't have a big head. But when I got there, it was a reality check. I'm like, this is a whole different language. You're seeing things differently. You have to adjust the way you look at an image. Because if you're someone who doesn't do ultrasound or sonography and you're looking at the image, it looks like blobs. Well, that's why you're there. Your eyes get trained differently. But it is a lot of hard work. It is. But also, you have to know how to manage your time. You have to take care of yourself while putting in the work. But it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be your AMP classes, you're studying the night before, and then you ace a test. No, you have to take that time to study and actually learn and absorb that information because it's going to be useful. So I would definitely say that's the biggest thing because it was definitely a huge reality check. And I think that went for a lot for me and my classmates. We're like, what? What is this? Oh man, I really, really have to study now.
Yeah, so what were maybe some of the more challenging parts of the program that somebody could maybe feel like, wow, there's a little bump in the road here, but they could get over that hump?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I think one of the things is it's a different language, too. Like a lot of the words we use, the verbiage, knowing anterior, posterior, all those things, it's kind of like, oh, this is kind of weird at first, or knowing how the image is transverse versus sagittal and kind of relating everything, putting those pieces together. It gets a little hard, at first. But also I think everyone faces different challenges. Some people are gonna be might catch on to scanning faster. Some people might be really great at physics. They're blessed. Or, really good at OB, really good at vascular. Everyone has their different strengths and everyone learns at a different pace. So I think also one of the things is just when you're in class and you see everyone, oh man, Sally Sue over there is really good at OB, but I suck at OB. Don't let that discourage you. We all have our different strengths and we all have different weaknesses. But at the end of the day, if you just keep trying and get to that point where hey, I'm gonna be a sonographer, I'm gonna be great, and I'm just gonna keep pushing, you're gonna be golden. You're gonna be golden, I promise. It's gonna seem like that. And also just know that you're not alone. We've all been there, we've all felt that. And I think that's for anyone who's ever been in any kind of program, to be honest. So
Wow. Yeah. Beautiful. That was great. In preparation to starting a program like that, what would be a tip? Like before somebody jumps in, is there maybe something they could do beforehand or maybe something they could review beforehand?
Yes, definitely. So I would say one of the best things you can do is try and follow a sonographer if you have a local hospital or anything like that. Because although the idea of it is great, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. You don't know until you're actually there in there watching someone, seeing what their day is like, seeing what their patient load is like. It's not all, butterflies and rainbows. You have to see what it's really like and be there and okay, I really want to do this. If you're there watching a sonographer and it just inspires you more and makes you more motivated, I think that's when you can like, yeah, definitely, this is what I want to do. But if you don't have access to that, there's a lot of really awesome resources too online, like YouTube videos and things like that you can watch, people's TikToks. I know sometimes we make it look a little romanticized, like, oh yeah, getting up, making my coffee and stuff. But a lot of us, we still speak about the struggles and truths and stuff that go along with it. So I think you just really have to put yourself in that mindset. It's gonna be a lot of hard work, and like anything, some days are better than others. But yeah.
Great advice. Great advice. Yeah. So, congratulations on making it through, right? It's something you wanted and something that you made happen, right? It didn't just happen. You put in the work. So now, as a sonographer, what does a day in the life look like for a sonographer?
Yes, okay. So I'll kind of speak, I guess, in two different ways. So from hospital life, my schedule is actually 3/12, which I think is great. I love 3/12, but I worked overnight. But like anyone, I think if you're working day shift or night shift, I would wake up, get my coffee, go to work. A lot of looking at, what patients I have. Do I have outpatients? And usually outpatients are a little bit better. They're more walkie-talkie. You have your inpatients. Those are going to be a little bit more of a struggle. Most likely, they do already have something wrong with them, right? They're in the hospital for a reason. And with those, in my experience, they're a little bit harder to scan, right? So you go do your inpatients, and you have to roll your machine. It's super heavy. I know the X-ray machines, it has like a little motor, right? Like
Yes,
when
yes.
you are going through, ours doesn't have that.
Oh,
We're
really?
pushing that. Yeah, no, we're pushing
Wow.
that. That
Okay.
is, that's our, yeah, we're using our strength with that. So you're rolling up there, doing your inpatients, the ER. A lot of times, this is what happens. You have an outpatient, you have a stat inpatient, and then you have some stat ERs. You kind of have to learn to problem solve. Hey, which ones, I don't want to say which one's more important, but which one should I get done first? And what order makes the most sense? There's definitely a lot of problem solving in those sense. So be prepared to do that, especially if you're in a hospital setting. Also, making sure everything's stopped. You don't want to start an exam and your gel is nothing in there. Don't do that. Set yourself up. Make sure you have all your gel. Make sure you have all your towels, clean sheets, all of that. Always have it prepared before you get your patient. So whenever you get their info, and then you can start your exam. But that's what it is. It's very repetitive. The only thing I would say that differs is your patient. You know, everybody's body habit is different. You're going to be using different windows, different techniques to get those good images. And sometimes it's not a good image. You just have to learn how to get the best you can get. And sometimes, you know, they'll go to a different modality that'll suit them better.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the great thing about the medical imaging field is there's multiple modalities, so you'll be working with multiple modalities, which is very interesting by itself. So yeah, that's great advice. Thank you so much for sharing. What would you say is your most favorite exam?
Oh my gosh, I love kidneys. Kidneys are my favorite. And I think because when I was in school, I actually struggled a lot more with kidneys. So it was one of those things where I was like, I want to conquer this so bad. And now I love them. I think they're so beautiful. Even if they have a kidney stone, when it shadows down, it just looks so nice. And you get those beautiful kidneys. They're just, yeah, they're gorgeous. I love kidneys. I could do kidneys all day.
All day, all day. Okay. And what would be your least favorite exam?
Carotids. I do
Carotids.
not like carotids for the life of me. If I could get out of carotids, I would. Because I'm like, no, thank you. I'm like, oh, they had a, you know, a CTA or whatever. I'm like, they don't need a carotid. They're good. But there's just some that are so torturous. And then sometimes you'll have them when they're asleep and they're snoring, and it's like, oh my gosh, you're just like trying, you know, you're working with a smaller area. So yeah, definitely I don't like carotids. I feel like a lot of people, that's actually their favorite exam, but unfortunately I'm just not one of those.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. So you work in a night shift, you're doing exams all hours of the night, right? Wow, that's interesting.
Yes. So, I mean, it started off slow for me because for my shift that I did have when I was at the hospital, it was a newer shift. We wouldn't have a sonographer overnight on the weekends until I came along. So it did start off pretty slow, but some nights it would be, I would say from like 6:30 to like maybe 10, 11, it would be, you know, pretty consistent. Sometimes it would be a rush, which I don't know why that's such a thing in the hospital. It's always like a rush and then nothing.
And then
And then
nothing.
you'll have some scattered. And then also once the doctors upstairs knew I was there overnight too, they'd start to order inpatients. So I'd go up there. But if I was lucky, they'd have to be brought down for either a CT or an X-ray. So I'm like, yes, I don't have to go upstairs. So I'm like, hey guys, just bring them over to me when you are done.
Passing the registry, right? I'm pretty sure was a challenge on in itself, right? So what would be your tips in how to pass that exam or become successful on that exam?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey guys, a common question I get is if I offer tutoring or coaching. And the answer is yes, I do. You could sign up for a session by visiting yourxraytech.com. Plus, you could get $10 off your session with the promo code TECH10. That's TECH10. I look forward to working with you soon.
Yes, so for the SPI, which is the first board exam, Oceanographers take. It's that first step into becoming registered. Of course, it's physics. I don't think, I would say like 99.99999% of us do not like physics. It's not it. It's not it. But the biggest thing that helped me, and anytime anyone messages me or you know, hey, what can I do to pass the SPI or to study, the PrepRe app. It's like PrEPY, PrepRe app. It's free. It does have some free resources, but I would definitely say it's worth paying for it. You'll have like mock exams, but for my experience, and I know others that I've talked to, it's the closest thing to the SPI. It really is. It has some really great questions and stuff like that. So 10 out of 10, recommend using the PrepRe app. And also, of course, our Green Edelman book. Everyone knows it. Loves it, kind of hate it, but it's great. Just use that and focus on the material that you don't know. Because, you know, I feel like a lot of us, certain things stick in our head. Don't focus on the stuff you know. Focus on everything else that you don't know. And then as far as like any of the specialty registries with that, there's a lot of different resources you can use. I think the URR, the Ultrasound Registry Review, is really great. It has a lot of great information and the Red Penny book. So that one's really good. And it's the same thing. That's kind of how I went in attacking everything is what don't I know? Focus on the stuff I don't know. Just stay really consistent. I don't, in my opinion, I don't think you need any more than 2 weeks to study for your exam. But definitely make sure you set your date because that's what's going to motivate you to study.
Right.
Just do it. Don't say, oh, I'll make it once I'm ready. No, like just set your date so that way it'll be coming up and you're like, all right, I gotta push and just drive. But I really genuinely think 2 weeks is more than enough time to study.
Awesome. Great advice. Yeah, 2 weeks of dedication, right? Just hitting the books
Yes,
and
definitely.
awesome.
Not like 2 weeks of scattered studying. Like, no, 2 weeks of just that's all you're doing. That's all you're doing is studying. And then the night before, just kind of relax. Even the day of, don't study on that day. Maybe just review your notes, but do something relaxing. Get a pedicure, just go out, chill for coffee. You have to relax your mind because it's going to be very scary. It is. You're going to be in there probably shaking in your boots, but just take a deep breath, skip over the questions that you don't know right away because you can come back to them in the end. So yeah, and just take your time.
It's nerve-wracking because it's life-changing, right? You pass that and you move forward with your career. Those are normal feelings, right? Normal feelings. But if you're prepared, you're prepared. You're doing great. We're like zooming through these questions. We're zooming
I also talk really fast. I
through.
do. I really do. I mean, for day in the life too, now I'm in a clinic, so it's a lot different than hospital life. So if you want me to touch on that, I can kind of touch on that. I just
Absolutely.
finished my first week, so let me know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So day in a life in a clinic as a sonographer.
So now I'm doing MFM in a private clinic, and it is super busy. Like it's patients back to back to back, and these exams are a lot different, you know, than when I was in the hospital. Of course, I'm doing a completely different side. I'm doing MFM, which is maternal fetal medicine, if y'all don't know. So anyone who is in an OB office, if they're going to be referred to an MFM office if they have any risk factors, like the mom, for example, might have diabetes, or if there's something in an exam for the baby that doesn't look right and they just want to confirm some things, they'll refer, you know, the mom to an MFM. So that's what I'm doing now. And like I said, it's patients back to back to back. There's a lot more sonographers. So it's so different, but it's really awesome. I went from working by myself to now having all this support and knowing that I can just, hey, can you pop in and look at this? But I am still training, so it's really awesome, but it's a lot faster pace. But the hours is different. So now my schedule is Monday through Friday. So I do 6:45 to 3:30 Monday through Thursday, and then Friday is a half day. So it is such a cool schedule. It's really nice. It's nice being out during the daytime.
You're young, you're new to the field, and most techs don't get that kind of schedule till like years in, you know, so that's awesome. On an average day, how many patients would you say you're seeing?
Yeah, as of right now, because I'm still training, I've done maybe like 4 to 5 patients on my own. See, doing the math for everyone else, oh, I know they're pumping out those. I know they are. Because I've seen some on the schedule, it'll be like 70 something patients scheduled, but
Wow.
not all of them are getting ultrasounds. And also the exams, there's an exam called an anatomy exam. And that one's going to be everything from head to toe of the baby. And then possibly also including a lot of views of their hearts. So that's going to be a longer exam. And like for me, that I'm just starting out, I will probably take 45 to an hour to do that exam. But also there's other exams like a BPP, a biophysical profile exam, and that one's about 30 minutes. And that one, you want to just see the baby moving and breathing. So those are a lot faster. And there are other ones that you're just kind of doing a quick, growth. You're just checking the growth of the baby. So those also a lot faster. But I'm honestly, I've tried asking and no one's giving me a clear answer. How many patients are y'all doing a day? No one gives me a clear answer. But I just know all of us are just going and going, going. For me personally, so far, 4 to 5. 4 to 5.
It's a good start.
But, I'm still learning, still training. So I'll have to update you on that once I'm officially going.
Awesome. I see those numbers going up. You know, again, we can see the benefits of ultrasound, and I think doctors are seeing the benefits, and you know, again, no radiation. So I see that continuing. You know, it's going to get busier, so it is a field to look forward to. You know, if anybody's considering ultrasound, you know, there's a lot of reasons to do it, but again, there's going to be challenges in it as well, right? And it's a learning process. I mean, whether you got 1 year experience or 10 years experience, you're still learning. You know, you're going to learn something new. So what would you say is maybe one of the more common exams that you perform in sonography?
I would say, thinking of the hospital, one of the biggest things I would get all the time, especially in the ER, is gallbladders. Actually, I have a little gallbladder here.
Is that what that? That's cute.
Yeah, it's a little gallbladder. Oh, we see gallbladders all the time. I mean, people won't even realize that they have gallstones or sludge or anything like that. And that was like the main one I would say I did all the time. And one of the things I did, and what I was taught to do by like my preceptors and my coworkers in the hospital, was to watch the ER board. And you're looking on there if they're coming in with nausea or things like that. You're like, okay, that's probably going to be a gallbladder. Like you can almost guarantee it. And one of the things we would also look for to see if they've had their gallbladder removed. So we'll look in their chart and then we'll start getting our room prepared, like just boom, putting everything there. So we already know the ER doctors are going to order it. We're going to be ready. And also, what I learned to do was look at their CTs, because sometimes they'll order a CT before an ultrasound and I'll go on there and I knew exactly where to look for just the gallbladder, though. Just the gallbladder. And I can kind of see it. I'm like, oh, yeah, they have stones in there. So that was one of the cool things, too, that I learned being in the hospital, was trying to kind of read CTs in that sense. Like, okay, I can see gallstones. They're going to order an exam for me. So let me get ready and kind of mentally prepare for that.
So that's a little gallbladder there. That's so
Yes.
cute. Oh,
It says like little facts about it. It says his favorite band is the Rolling Stones.
my God.
Makes sense being full of stones. But yeah, I have a little gallbladder.
That's so cute. So where do you find something like that? That's super interesting.
We got this. It was my Christmas gift. It's
Oh.
from iHeartGuts.com. And they have a bunch of different little guys on here. They have thyroids. They have, what else? Elbows. They make a bunch of different little plushies. And I think for all of us that are, in the healthcare, we like love these things.
That's
So
super
yeah, it's
cool.
really cute. 10 out of 10 recommend.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And speaking of merch, you have a shop of your own, right? You have some merchandise.
Yes, so I just launched a shop and it's going to have a bunch of sonography stuff. Hopefully, one day we can expand into other modalities. Right now, I have sonography sweatshirts, t-shirts, tote bags, notebooks. So y'all can find that at angeladms.com or on Instagram at shop Angela Diavis.
Awesome. And I'm going to put all those links down at the bottom. It's a great way to support creators, technologists. So please go and visit and make a purchase. It really goes a long way. Also, we could follow you on social media, right? What are some of the platforms that you're currently on?
Yes, so Instagram right now is the one I'm most active on. So that's at angelac.dms. And usually I try to post, keep y'all updated on my journey, give advice to any students. Like my DMs are always open. I love helping y'all get started or any advice and stuff like that. And then on TikTok now, it's the same thing at angelac.dms. And I'll post like day in the lives and things like that, some little videos to kind of give y'all an idea of what I do and what my day's like.
Again, go and follow, like, and share her post, and looking forward to what you have and what's coming out in the future. Where do you maybe see yourself in the next 5 or 10 years in the field?
Yes, you see, that is such a great question. Because so recently I just moved to a new city, which is another reason why I'm now in a different side of ultrasound. So I'm no longer in the hospital and doing general. Now I'm in a clinic and doing MFM. So, I'm just excited to just learn everything and anything I can, like wherever my journey takes me. If I do go more into MFM and start doing fetal echo and things like that, that's really exciting to me because this is a totally different challenge. Or will I go vascular? Who knows? But I'm really just excited, honestly, to learn. I know the first 2 years, especially in the field, you're learning so much. So I'm just excited to learn as much as I can in everything. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Just to keep learning and to keep growing and sharpen up my skills for sure.
Angela, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Some of the coolest radiology shirts, underscrubs, notebooks, and stickers are available at my website, yourxraytech.com. Check it out.